will go to the open public input, the opportunity for the public to share their thoughts and concerns with us. And the way we do this, I'm sure most of you are familiar with by now, that you have 3 minutes. You will come speak close to the mic, not right in front of the mic. And at the end of your time, you'll hear a beeping noise. That is not a signal from the celestial gods. That is actually a beeping noise that says your time has come to an end. So you can wind up your thoughts, but that will be it. And I'm going to call you up two at a time. So I will call two names. One will speak there, and then I'll call up the next one as it comes. So the first one is Freddie Janicki. And the second is Dale Maygart.
I'd like to address the cougar populations and harvests.
Just speak a little.
I'd like to address the cougar populations and harvests. Are you all familiar with the seasons, the cougar management areas within the state? Okay, there's 130 game management units. We've got 11 game management units in the northeast corner of Washington. At current rate, from 1997 until the latest data, which is 2012, on the cougars, we're harvesting 25% to 32% of all the cougars statewide in those 11 game management units. We're approaching early January. The first week last year was all the areas were shut down. The harvest quotas had been attained. We'd like to see the harvest records, or the harvest increased, the quotas increased, and allow this predator pit that we've come into to be managed a little bit more accordingly. There's 47 cougar game management areas comprised of the game management units. When you're harvesting 25% of the state's total of cougars in 11 game management units, there's something out of line. And the other thing is the records and harvest reports over the last 4 months have changed. The numbers have changed. I've gone over these numbers from 97 to 2012, and I've done it four times this year, and the harvest numbers for totals have been arranged and adjusted. I don't know how that's happening. How can you have so many cougars taken in 2008 and 4 months later that number's changed in the harvest records? It seems like it's being manipulated. We need to address this. We have a tremendous number of sightings of cougars. We had two gentlemen go out and harvest 25% of the 117 unit cougars in 2 hours. In two setups, they set up, called in a cougar, killed it. Within 3 miles of that, called in another cougar and killed it the next 2 days later. So to address the cougar issue, because without doing that, we're never going to attain a balance in our deer. Okay.
Thank you. Gary Dubier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Dale Maggart. I've lived and hunted in northeastern Washington almost all my life. I took an overseas trip back in the late 60s, early 70s. The quarry was a little bit different over there, but anyway. I want to say the bear seasons, and with all due respect to Donnie Martorello, I completely wholeheartedly disagree with his thought on the number of black bear we have in northeastern Washington. We got more bear sightings going on out there by hunters and loggers and hikers and others that spend a lot of time outdoors than we've ever had in that area up there. Myself, I live just north of Spokane. I have two bear in the immediate vicinity, whereas 10 years ago I didn't have any. This is an area where we got kids going back and forth to school, walking half-mile driveways through timbered areas and things like that. These bear are killing fawns. We've got a serious, you're going to hear it time and time again from the northeastern contingency here about having a severe predator problem up there. These bear are killing fawns, and they're not only killing fawns, but they're also, to a certain degree, finding and consuming cougar kill that are out there. From my understanding, cougars in the past, they would kill approximately every 10 days. That has been changed and moved forward to like every 7 days now. Primarily one of the main reasons is because the bear are cleaning up their kills for them. So I think an aggressive effort needs to be undertaken to address this serious predator issue we have up there in northeastern Washington. I would like to see the department change their thinking a little bit on it. Set a very generous quota, you know, on the bears up there. Extend the seasons as much as possible. Open it to all hunters that have a bear tag. And let us see what we can do. As far as control, you could require the successful hunters to report their kill within 24 hours, say, and then maybe halfway through the season or so require hunters before they go afield to call in and just see how well they're doing on the quota, whether you need to shut it down or whatnot, so you'd have some control of it. But we need to do something up there because we're not getting fawn recruitment like we should have. Our deer populations are half what they used to be up there. So anyway, that's a problem. So thank you very much.
Thank you. John Market.
Commissioner Duvier.
Thanks, Madam, or Madam Chair. I guess I'm out of the habits, but that was going to be my first comment. It's the first time that I've ever been at the commission meeting where we didn't have to address a madam. So I don't know if this new stag crowd is good or bad yet, but we'll soon find out.
I'll respond to either.
So. Yeah. Appreciate that. Anyway, I want to make a couple quick comments on a couple issues that are coming to you tomorrow because I won't be here then. But the bear population, as John Maggart just mentioned, we've been pushing for bear increases, and we've changed the permits over the last 4 years from about 95 to 195. This year you're proposing to take it to 395. So a 200 increase, and you got about a 6 to 10% increase in success rate. So you're talking maybe 12 to 20 additional bears taken out of there. We have a significant fawn recruitment problem. We were hoping to have a regular season, so mainly because we wanted more stress on the bear population. The more people we can get out there in the spring to harass and push these bear off the fawns, the better our deer herd will start to recover. So if you want to talk to the enforcement people and the sheriff's departments in these counties, you'll find their number one waste of time is bear complaints, and they're on them all the time. So to help our enforcement people have a little more access to their time. The cougar thing, the density is a real big question mark. Significant difference between what we're seeing as boots on the ground and in the woods versus what the department says we have. There are some tools where you can do some density studies that I think should really be reconsidered. Cougars are a huge impact on our ungulate population, and if you miss that number, you miss a huge impact on the whitetail population up there. And you're having some problems with that. I think your wolf problem you had in the wedge and the wolf problem you had in profanity is basically caused by too many cougars. There are no ungulates left. And you have more cattle in both those places than you do ungulates for the wolves to eat. The baiting thing is can go there. We all hunt over bait, whether we admit it or not. But the artificial baiting, about 10% of the hunters seem to be abusing this, and they're doing excessive amounts. The alternatives that are on the sheet probably are not enforceable, are very difficult. probably wouldn't be a cost-effective deal, probably cause more conflict than solution. You might consider limiting bait to make a step in the right direction, to cut bait back to only during the season to stop these excessive piling up of baits to pull the ungulates onto private properties away from where access is, and also the mechanical devices that kind of rings the dinner bell and it conditions the deer population to come at a certain time, and it also costs consistency in baiting. So those would be enforceable. So Don, on your list.
Thank you. Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Gary, I have a question maybe to you. You've got a long history in the Northeast with this predator issue. Can you elaborate a little bit on, in more detail, one gentleman spoke about the black bear piece, the other one talked about cougars. Can you elaborate a little bit on how difficult that is and how severe it is, and maybe a suggestion or two?
Well, there's a big a discrepancy on what we're seeing and what the department density is. And so the quotas leave us with surplus animals every year, and they've done this for a number of years, where if we are right and they're wrong, the population is expanding significantly each year. And the cougar have, like I said, a lot of impact on these ungulate populations. This afternoon, I'll show you the charts that shows the GMUs where there's no population growth in the ungulates. It's mainly because the predator population is growing faster than they are. The good example, I had a report from one of the fishermen on Rufus Woods last week that he, earlier in the year, had made some trips down along the shoreline at night, counted 22 cougars in one evening and 15 the next evening. It's not unusual for bow hunters to get chased out of their tree things by cougars. This year we have a coyote contest. Two rookie coyote hunters bought their first coyote calls. Both of them took cougars in 40 minutes on their thing. It's just an indication that they are really plentiful. The young cats are now being trapped in Colville, Wenatchee, Spokane, and into the population centers. And it's because they're so pushed out of their territories by the males, they're down looking for new places to form their territories. Now, that's our interpretation, that they're spreading out and trying to find new places. The department's answer seems to be is that you're shooting young ones because that's an indication that there's not enough of them. So there's, I don't know who's right, but I can tell you that we're significantly more on it. The bear population, I took my mother-in-law out last year just for a ride in September. We had three bear spotted, and I've shot enough bear. I don't want to shoot anymore. I don't like them. I don't like to drag them. I don't like to eat them. I don't like to skin them. And that's probably the majority of the people in the Northeast corner now. So if we don't track people from out of the area, the harvest doesn't happen. Big opportunity for the department to tag up, in my opinion, a turkey season and a bear season together would probably give you a lot of accolades and make you a lot of money and make the communities a lot of money. And out-of-state bear tags are excessively high. And so there's, I think that whole area is, we've talked about predator prey stuff, and it's something that continues needs to be discussed.
Brad.
Yes.
First of all, I want to thank Gary for saying Madam Chair, because that's what I'm going to have to chew the end off my tongue on that one.
You're going to give me a complex after
that. Yeah.
Get a haircut.
There again, we've heard three of you speak to the predator issues in northeastern Washington, and later on we're going to be dealing with basically liberalizing some deer seasons. I have some concerns, and I would maybe ask you to speak to that a little bit. If we have these high predator populations, and I think we need to be fairly conservative on the deer issue, because there again, the wolf issue keeps coming up, and I guess as a cattleman, we need to keep some deer out there, because once the The game populations are gone. The wolves aren't going to become vegetarians, so it's just going to escalate the issue with conflicts with cattle. Would you like to speak to that, Gary?
Yeah, thanks, Jay. The cattlemen are, as well as the hunting retail businesses, are all in support of protecting our whitetail population and pulling back the harvest right now, because the whitetail population is 30 to 50% below its objective. And we all know that if we don't start building that herd up to take care of the wolves that are coming, we'll soon not have any hunting, period. And we'll also have more cattle and more sheep eaten. So the key to minimizing the conflict is to get this population up. The hunters by themselves voted to cut back to the four-point area and cut back their take on an effort to recover the population. And they've cut back on the doe harvest to the extent they want. Even they wanted more than what the department did. And they're happy with this lower harvesting season, so the population can come back. But we're at a point where you can look at all the data, and population growth is not happening because the deer herd is so low. Ungiven fawn recoupment is so low. We're feeding the predators. We're not gaining the population. So the cougar, bear, coyote is an issue. The wolf was at 68, department count, probably closer to 168 in our count. And it's going to go exponentially higher next year and the year after that. I'm sure Jim from Idaho lived through that. So if we don't have healthy populations, the predators are going to take them in the next 2 or 3 years. It's going to be a disaster. And God forgive if we have another bad winter.
Any other questions from the commissioner?
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Mr. Merga.
I'm Don Maggart. I represent the Stevens County Fish and Wildlife Advisory Council, Northeast Washington Wildlife Group, and I'm also on the GMAC. I want to talk about baiting a little bit, if I could, because I'm not going to be here tomorrow. We talked about it at our last two GMAC meetings, and I believe the commission and the director would requested a recommendation from the GMAC on baiting. We couldn't come to any kind of decision the first meeting, which was meeting before last. In the March meeting, it came up again, and there was the same kind of discussion. Nobody could come to any decisions on whether baiting was good, bad, indifferent. People have preferences for this side of baiting, not so much for the other side. And there really isn't a good way to address the baiting issue other than either have it or don't have it. Compromises in the middle don't seem to work. What I'd like to know, we made a recommendation to the commission, the GMAC did out of the last meeting. Did you guys get that, do you know? The recommendation was no change. Okay. The department, Nate was there and stuff, and basically the question was asked, why doesn't the department take some sort of a stand on it? Don't you have a preference one way or the other? And Nate responded that it becomes a social issue and is difficult to deal with from the social aspect of everything. So I raised my hand and was recognized, and I got to say this. You know, we were asked to make a decision on this from the GMAC to the commission and the director. We need to do it from a game management standpoint, not a social standpoint, because that's what the Game Management Advisory Council is. The vote was 17. When it came to a vote, it was 17 for no change, one abstention. And so that was what you guys should have received. There's just so many issues with baiting. The main issue that was brought to us was the main complaint seems to be outfitters or guides somewhere here in the middle of the state that are using excessive amounts of bait to attract wildlife. deer, elk. And it's pulling the animals off everybody else's private land and everything else. So it's a big concern. But for your small average bow hunter baiter that goes out and tries to get a deer out of a tree stand and freeze himself to death, or even a rifle hunter, it's not a big issue, I don't think, and neither did the GMAC. It's almost unenforceable. I don't know how you guys would ever enforce something like that. So I'll say to you guys here today, that was the GMAC's recommendation, and that's also the recommendation of people that I deal with on a daily basis up north.
Thank you. Yeah, your time, the buzzer went off.
Time?
Yeah, time. You wanted to respond to that, Mr. Keene? Oh, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for coming today. I have a question relating to, I heard that the GMAC had a good, healthy discussion of this, and there was, you know, back and forth, pros and cons, mm-hmm. and it is a tough issue to figure out what would be a reasonable approach. And it seems to come back to, well, either just keep it or stop it altogether, because the middle ground appears to be very hard to enforce.
It is.
Did the GMAC have any discussion towards a different type of limiting baiting, to where you look more at the duration or the length? You know, as far as I know, a lot of the overuse or the abuse of baiting comes towards the end or in the rut period in the bow season. You know, it's when it's very effective. Mm-hmm. And that's when I see a lot of the apples moving out in truckloads in Okanagan County for baiting sites. I know seasons were originally established for bow hunters because it was harder to take animals with a bow, so you've got a better season, and yet that's when the abuse is occurring. I'm wondering if the GMAC had any discussion about duration, shrinking that time period where you could bait. Don't focus on the amount so much, but say keep it out of the rut and keep it no baiting before a season starts, any season starts, something along those lines. Did they discuss that?
There was some discussion on that, and basically the guys who do that type of hunting, I'm not one of them. I used to bow hunt. I don't anymore. But basically what they were saying was that the bait during the rut really doesn't make the difference. It's the rut itself. So actually, if you can draw an estrus doe into a bait pile during the rut, you may have some success. But other than that, if that doe isn't there, the buck's not going to come. So there, in that case, your scent attractants are more attractive, and that brings on another issue. If we ban baiting with food type bait, where does it go from there? Is it next thing going to be scent attractants? Is it going to be, mineral licks are already included in that. So it's a kind of an uncomfortable subject, because there is so much, there's just so many sides of it, And I don't disagree with what you're saying, but there's somebody else here that might say what I just said, that it doesn't matter. So that's why the GMAC couldn't really come up with a good decision on it either. So we said leave it alone.
Mr. Holtzman.
Thank you. I'm just hoping that this issue coming to light and becoming an issue, hopefully some peer pressure can be applied to some of these people, that we need to clean up our own act. To me, asking the government to solve a problem is the last place I want to go. If you can keep it the local level, it just ends up working a lot better. And I guess maybe if some of these hunter groups can say, hey, we need to clean up our act, stop the truckloads of apples going out. Yeah, you're going to be use a buffalo hunter mentality. You can use it for two more years and you keep this stuff up. We're going to kick it all off. But I would just hope that some hunter groups can apply some peer pressure to them and get this slowed down, because that's the problem. It isn't the guy that taking a couple wafers of alfalfa out with a pile of oats. It's just excessive. So
that's exactly right, and that was we beat that to death, and that is the deal. That the focus needs to be on these guys that are abusing it. And I don't know how you do that with, you know, we discussed private land ownership and stuff like that. And you people know more about that than I do by far, but it's almost a legislative thing at some point in time there where, and really, nobody wants another rule. We have enough rules the way it stands. Making more rules complicates things more, takes more enforcement. It just, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate. But the average guys up in our part of the country up there that are out baiting and hunting over bait use very little bait. And, you know, it's just enough to bring them in, maybe. There's a guide or two up there that, you know, they put hay out and stuff year-round. Now, quite possibly, you might look at limiting the time when you bait. Maybe only during hunting season, or, you know, put a rule in effect like that, where you can't set up a food plot 6 months ahead of time. Everybody's got trail cameras anymore. Everybody knows exactly what's coming into their food plot or their bait. So, you know, if things just keep getting more evolved, you know, the animals are kind of up against it. And we're up against some real problems up there anyway with our deer and stuff. So it's not like we didn't recognize that part of it, too, to increase your advantage over the animals when we're short of animals the way it is. And we do have such a hellacious predator problem. But it's complicated.
Well, thank you for your good work on the GMAC. And the Wildlife Committee did talk about this last night, and we will be taking all of that. And the conclusion of the 17 groups was brought up, and it does help us in arriving at a decision that we will be doing in the upcoming meetings, as you know. So I think we recognize the complexity of the issue and the potential for abuse, which harms everybody. So again, thank you for all that effort, and it does help us a great deal.
Thank you.
That's it, Tammy. Okay. Well, we'll close out on this part of the open public input.